The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Let's Talk More Action podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and should not be construed as advice, nor do they necessarily reflect the views of Community Action Council's governing bodies, leadership, or staff, or our funding partners. Community Action Council is a private, nonprofit, and nonpartisan organization. We do not support or endorse any political candidates.
This the city's number one podcast. Love the topics, the guests, and all of the contrast. They ain't focused on the views and the traffic. What's the point of shining if no jewels for the masses? We gotta spread the news of our passion. Service is a verb, now that's community action. Yo, everybody, let's talk. Talking ain't enough, so everybody, let's walk. We all want freedom, the eagle and the stars, but the only way to reach it, meet the people where they are. Unity's the only way to fend these atrocities. You and me together can eliminate poverty. And this is just a vessel of expression to make sure we stay on the message of progression. Yes, everybody, let's talk. Bring your ideas and together we walk.
Protect our seeds from the poisonous root, and we gotta reach the source and the soul and the root.
Yes, everybody, let's talk. We need community action. Together we walk.
Together we work in to reduce violence. Speak through the airways. We refuse silence.
Let's talk.
Good morning. This is Let's Talk More Action. I'm your co-host, Simone McAvoy, and I'm here with our executive director, Sharon Price.
Hey, hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, Sharon. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so, you know, we're going to be talking all things library, early literacy, and all of that. What has been your favorite book to read with your son?
Oh, goodness. It's Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus. That is his jam. Every single time I read it to him, he laughs. He already knows the words to the story, but he just wants me to hear him, wants me to tell him, you know?
And do you guys sit together? Is he too big to be leaning on you and all of that?
He's always kind of laid back in the bed, but if I'm not holding the book at the right angle, he'll be like, "Mommy, you gotta make sure I see it." And then I think there's one part where the pigeon says, "I think your mother would let me drive the bus." And I'm like, "No, I wouldn't."
Not today, not today. Well, my favorite book is Love You Forever.
Oh.
And that book will just make you sit there and cry and cry and cry. Because, you know, you start when you're reading the book and I stopped reading it. I'm going to tell you that. I stopped reading that because I'm like, wait a minute, this is not how this is supposed to be. You know, but it makes me feel... I don't know. It just drums up some feelings.
Yeah, like sometimes you feel tender emotions when, like, you read books that perhaps you were read as a kid, or, like, maybe, you know, something that kind of reminds you of your parents, your family, your life, but then you're sharing it with a child.
Absolutely. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't have as many books. There was a bookmobile that came around, and so you got to check out books, and the next week the bookmobile would come back around and you got to check out some more books. But for me, you know, and we're going to be talking with our guest here in just a sec, but my mom used to tell us stories. You know, bedtime stories was always a big thing, and I don't know if she made them up as she went along, but storytelling and talking, you know, to me as a child was a big deal too.
Yes, absolutely. I don't really remember being that little as well, but I do remember I'm the eldest, and I know at some point my brothers were big into Captain Underpants books, and oh my goodness, I would read those to them, and they loved it. So it wasn't just my parents reading, I'd read to them too.
What kind of an age difference was there?
Well, my middle brother is about 5 years younger than me, and my youngest brother is about 8 years younger than me.
Oh, so that was a good spot for you to be in to teach.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Well, today we've got our friends from the library in Fayette County Public Schools. Laura, I gotta stop it.
Okay.
You're gonna have to edit that.
We'll cut it out.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I understand.
Sorry, you look like her. Sorry.
My parents did that, and now they call Lucy Laura. Mom will say, Laura, I mean Lucy.
So. Sorry, I looked at you and I saw her.
It's okay.
So today we have our friends from Fayette County Public Schools and the library, Lexington Public Library. We have Mary Laura. Now I'm just stuck.
Okay. Maybe. Okay.
So today we have Mary Landrum from the Lexington Public Library and Eamon Fitzgerald from Fayette County Public Schools and First Five Lex.
Hi.
Everything that we're talking about today is early childhood education and how we make all of this happen together. You guys have some interesting things happening at the library, and especially getting ready for summertime.
We sure do, and we are always glad to have Eamon come and represent First Five Lex at our events. He will be at the summer kickoffs. He or his partners in early literacy crime will be there at all of the library's summer kickoffs promoting early childhood education, reading with your children. I believe he's going to be helping us distribute some free books to every family that will be attending our summer kickoffs.
Aha, free books.
That's always great.
And since I work at the public library, I have to say those are free books that you can take home and keep in addition to the free books you can check out from the public library, then return and trade for more free books. We do just make sure that having every child gets a book to take home and keep, because having a home library is connected to having strong literacy levels. If you've got materials in the home to read, you're more likely to read with your child and more likely to develop a love of reading.
Now, if somebody doesn't have a library card, what do they need to do to get one?
Come visit your local public library. We do generally ask for an ID and or some proof of address. We just ask that you live in Fayette County. And if you don't live in Fayette County, we have what are called reciprocal borrower arrangements. So please visit us in person. We also have a feature on our website where you can fill out the information, your name, your address, your phone number, email address, and then just come in and pick up the physical card. There is a new development called a digital library card that you can also apply for on our website.
Oh, tell us about that.
So you don't even have to come in and pick up a physical card. The digital card is something that you can download to your digital wallet. I am not tech savvy enough to have experimented with that yet, but I know that it's been really popular with our customers and patrons.
Now, you also, you guys have done something great. You opened a brand new library not too long ago.
Yes, and I'm fortunate enough to be one of the two children's librarians at that location. I am one of the children's librarians at the Marksberry Family Branch on Versailles Road. I still catch myself calling it the Village Branch because the building is different, but it is the same location. We are serving the same community and with much of the same staff that has served Cardinal Valley from that location for years.
And so, Eamon, the library is important to the work that you guys do at Fayette County Public Schools, and in particularly with First Five Lex with Read, Talk, and Play.
Exactly, yeah. I think from the very get-go, when we kind of got together with the idea of First Five Lex, Community Action, and the Public Library were some of the first two partners that we had, because we understood how important families and early literacy and getting families to the library was. You know, it's one of those things where, and Mary probably gets these questions also, probably weekly, we get the two questions are, you know, what do we recommend? What's the best thing we could tell parents about raising kids? And the next question is, what's the best app or computer program to teach your child to read? And the answers kind of go hand in hand, is that we tell families that, you know, if you want your children to read, the best thing we can tell families is that, you know, when you're raising a child, the best thing you can do is show them, right? You show them how to be kind. You show them kind of how to read. You show them the love of reading. You show them what a book can do, how it can take you from your cushy little seat to the land where the wild things are. It can take you to space. It can take you to all these different places. You know, we tell families to show them. If you want your child to, you know, be kind, you got to show them kindness, but also you have to let them see you show other people kindness. So showing them, especially showing them the power of books and reading, are important. But then that goes into what is, you know, what's the best computer program or app to teach your child to read? And so our answer is, that's an easy one. It's LAP. So, you know, you have a book and you have a child either in your lap or next to you. Reading, because not only are they getting that social interaction, but they're also getting that literacy piece there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our answer. There's wonderful programs that help children learn those skills, but you can't beat sitting down with a child, reading a book, you know, having that book, feeling that book, you know, being able to keep that book, put it on a shelf, and get it later. You know, and just the power of reading a book, for example, if you read one book a day to the child from the day they were born to the day they turn 5 years old, that's 1,825 books. All right, and that's only if you read it once. Now, we know with young kids, we're reading, don't
read it again, read it again, read it again.
And over and over again. But then, you know, everything you could do when you're reading that same book again, you can change the characters, you can change the voices, you can change, you know, how you interact. You can ask them what's going to happen next because they know exactly what's going to happen next, but they want to see if you remember what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
So the partnership between Community Action, Library, getting everybody involved, and knowing that there's those resources out there, you know, for families, such as, you know, getting free books, but also checking books out and bringing them back. You know, it's not just the early literacy piece, it's the family engagement piece. It's making those memories that the kids will remember and hopefully pass along to their kids eventually.
Well, and that, when you talk about the lap, because when you were talking about the app, I was like, oh, wow, the lap is what I would think would be the best. And then you said it, I was like, yes. Yes.
Laps, not apps.
That's right. Because that's the time that you get to not just read the book and as far as the literacy part of it, but feeling that connection with the person that is reading that book to you, whether it's your mom, your dad, in some cases your older sister. That's, you know, that's that time of bonding and connecting, you know, as well.
Exactly.
And, you know, getting, you know, that's, it's the whole family that goes across. It's not just the child that learns how to read. It's everything, you know, connected into one.
Absolutely. And I love that Simone was reading Captain Underpants, because those are books for older school-age children. Probably, well, my niece was interested in them by the time she was six. But I think we often think that by the time kids start elementary school, they should be reading on their own. And if you want to nurture those connections, keep reading to them. My niece is eight now. And I read to her when she lets me. One thing I have learned is not to force it, because if I force reading, it becomes a chore and it becomes something she doesn't want to do. Mm-hmm. But if you continue reading to your kids, even when they're capable of reading on their own, they may be hearing a book that has a higher vocabulary level than what they can read on their own. They are connecting with you, they're snuggling up with you, and you're creating good memories, and then they're associating all of those positive feelings with the act of reading.
Well, you know, one of the things that Simone was saying off, I want to say off camera, but off mic earlier, was her son, her son was saying he didn't like reading books. And you said, I'm going to misquote you.
I more or less said, you haven't met the right book yet. There's something that you will definitely like if you would be interested in the subject. And sure enough, he likes Dog Man and Cat Kid books. He can read a good Minecraft book because Minecraft is his jam. But I'm like, so long as you read something, I want you to read something, because I'm sure there's something that you'll like.
Well, and then when you think about life in itself and going through school, every class that you take involves reading and comprehension. You know, and that's one of the things that, you know, I know that we're interested in it. All of us at this table is interested in children being ready to learn when they go to school. And so that's one of the big issues there.
Reading aloud to children expands their vocabulary. People think that picture books are the books for children to read on their own when they're beginning to read. But a picture book, like I would read in a public library story time, has a much higher vocabulary, a much higher reading level than the easy readers like Biscuit. And when children are hearing those words, they're learning to recognize them. So when they get to school, they'll say, oh, I remember when my grown-up read that word to me in that story, and they can recognize it. And then they're also learning about the world, which is why it's a good idea to let them read about Minecraft or other subjects, because if they have more background knowledge when they start reading on their own, they're going to have the context to help them understand what they're reading.
Well, and then when you think about read, talk, play, and sing, is, you know, Whitney likes to skidamarinky, dinky, dink, skidamarinky, do. She loves to do that because kids don't care. And when you're talking about building vocabulary, they don't care if you don't know how to sing. They think that you're great anyway.
Especially if it's your own child. They don't care if you don't sound like Taylor. They just want to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the easiest way we've explained it to folks is that, a child's brain is almost like a file cabinet. And every time they hear a word, whether they understand it or not, they create a file for this. You know, so you're reading a story, or to your point, you're storytelling. Mm-hmm. And we can even go through, like, the history of how important storytelling is to different cultures. If you grew up in the Appalachian region here in Kentucky, storytelling is a huge part of kind of oral history. But, you know, we talk to families that, you know, you talk to your children, you read to your child. They're like, well, I don't know if they understand those words. Doesn't matter. Read to them. Because what they do is they hear these words, they create files. The more they hear these words, those files get kind of shuffled to the front. So it's not alphabetical, it's not chronological, it's how often they hear it. So we think about when a toddler starts to learn the word no.
That's the first word they learn. Because they hear it a lot.
So their response to anything you say is no. Even if they do want it, they'll be like, no, and then they'll snatch it from you because that's what they hear a lot. So, you know, children learn their names very early on. They learn other people's names very, very early on. So, for example, you know, children, you know, will give a child an apple, or they'll look at an apple in a book, and they'll be like, okay, I'm going to file this away, an apple, it's red, and this is an apple. Well, then they learn that apples can be green, so then they pull out that file cabinet, find that apple file, be like, all right, apples can be green, red, and it's going to blow their mind when they get older, when they also got weird names like Pink Lady, and, you know, Red Delicious, and all these kind of things. The idea that, you know, they have to totally understand what they're listening to is not true. You know, we want to teach them as many words as possible. There's all the research on the million word gap and all these kind of things. But we also tie it back to kind of the social emotional piece. You know, the children that use those kind of the inappropriate words, the four letter words, those get shuffled to the front because that's what they're hearing. So in early childhood, you guys know here at Community Action, you know, we shower children with love and with, hey, I'm glad you're here today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's nice to see your smile. We want those words and those kind of feelings to get shuffled in the front. So when they do get to school, you know, and they start reading things that they might not understand, they have this huge file cabinet to open up and kind of find those words and attach meaning to. So, you know, we tell people read anything to your kids. We'd love for you to hit up the public library and get books and materials that you can read. But, I mean, you can read anything. You can read newspapers, magazines, you know, anything out loud to your child.
Signs when you're driving.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
And for example, we tell people, you know, people ask, well, when should I start reading to my child? We ask high schoolers this. We ask adults this. And we get all these range of answers. And what we tell people is as soon as you can. So, for example, a child's hearing is fully developed at the end of the second trimester. That is why they start to kind of, you know, when children are born, they're already drawn to certain sounds and voices. They know the mother's voice. They know sounds that they hear. So we tell people to start reading in utero because it also gives them practice. Because if you've never sat down and read a book to a child, this is a great time to practice because nobody's going to say anything about how you're holding the book or if you skipped a page or not. So, you know, we tell people to read as often as they can and anything that they can.
Well, and I really like where you talk about being positive, because even before the baby is born, you know, one of the things that we tell moms is to practice telling your baby, I love you so much. I love you so much, you know, so that not only are they hearing your voice, you're building your words or helping to build that connection and that bond with the baby.
And children can't learn those academic concepts if they don't have strong social and emotional skills.
Hey, we're going to be right back. I hear the music, Simone.
Yes. You're listening to Lex Talk More Action.
She's going to just take a commercial. But I think
this past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why don't you join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Community Action Council's Prep Academies have openings in their Early Head Start program for children aged 6 weeks to 3 years old. Spaces are filling up, so now is the time to apply for the upcoming school year. Every child who enrolls receives a full scholarship for the entire school year. To get connected and ensure your young child gets a head start on their education, call Community Action Council at 859-233-4600. You can also find Community Action Council online at comaction.org. That's C-O-M-M, action.org.
You're listening to Let's Talk More Action, and we're talking about early childhood literacy. Isn't that right, Sharon?
Yeah, listen, I'm with two of the coolest kids in town today talking about early childhood education, helping children learn, all of that early literacy that's going to help them when, you know, when they go to school and beyond. And, you know, just really interested in activities that you guys will have at the libraries this summer, because you guys have a whole lot of things and libraries all around town. It doesn't matter where you live, there's a library in your neck of the woods.
There sure is. We will be doing all of our traditional story times for babies, toddlers, and preschoolers in addition to some of the fun summer activities. We will have Kentucky Down Under bringing us some wild animals.
Aha! Uh-huh.
We'll have the Cincinnati Museum Center doing some hands-on science programs for kind of the late elementary, middle school kids. We will have a variety of programs for teenagers as well. I do tend to focus on the younger end of the spectrum. And I know that for many parents, getting to a story time that happens at 11 a.m. on a Thursday can be a challenge, because I had a working mom, I am a working caregiver, and it's tricky. So at the Marksberry Family Branch where I work, my colleague and I have made a really conscious effort to plan early childhood activities on a Saturday. We are part of the Lexington Public Library's Destination Kindergarten Initiative, which is where caregivers can come in and do hands-on kindergarten readiness activities with their kids. At Marksberry, we offer it on a Saturday morning so that working families can come. I do a program in our makerspace called Family STEAM Time on the first Saturday of the month. That is for kind of ages 4 to 8 is who I've got in mind when I'm planning it. And that's on a Sunday afternoon so that working caregivers can come. When my colleague Stephanie works, she does a story time called Snacks and Stories, Comida y Cuentos, because she is bilingual with Spanish. So you can come in on a Sunday afternoon, have a snack, listen to stories in two languages. So we know that the schedules can be challenging, and we are working to address that.
Yeah, and one of the things I appreciate about the library's programming and a lot of the programming that happens around town is that it's either free or relatively inexpensive. Because we don't want that economic barrier for families, but we also want to show them that they can do these things at home, in the car, waiting in line, and how they can kind of keep developing this language and early literacy, reading things like, Sharon, you were saying, driving, reading the signs on the side of the road, or when you're taking a trip, are easy things that families can do that make a huge impact, but they might not think about that. You know, they might think that, you know, everything has to be a pay for programming or pay service or those kind of things. But the library shows you that you can do all of these things for relatively inexpensive or free.
And now, has this changed late fees for book returns? Has that changed? Because I know when my daughter is a book hoarder, so she gets all of these books when she was in high school, middle school, she'd get all of these books, and she didn't want to bring them back because she wanted to keep them. Well, when you want to keep them, you have to buy them. But when you are borrowing them and you don't bring them back, then I get a bill for $79. Not that I mind, because she was like, well, I could be doing drugs. I'm like, yeah, you could. You could.
So I'm gonna daughter. I like her already.
But I'm like, when you buy books, you buy books. When you borrow books, you got to bring them back so somebody else can enjoy those books as well.
That is correct. I think it was sometime last year, our board and administration agreed. Everything through the public library has to go through our board of trustees. They're a great group of people. And we did some research, looked at systems across the country, and what we found is that library fines were keeping away the people who could benefit most from library service. what was happening was people who had library fines and could not afford to pay them were so embarrassed that they just didn't want to come to the library again. And we decided that we wanted people more than we wanted our materials back. And I think it's made a big difference. If you bring a book back, we will not charge you a late fee. If your child chews that board book to pieces, we're not going to charge you to replace it. And I have spilled coffee on more than one library book. I'm not going to pretend that this is not something I do myself. And we learned that if we make the library a little more forgiving, we're more likely to get people back.
Well, and I like that when you talk about the book being chewed up, because that has happened before. And so I went out and I was like, okay, I don't remember the name of the board book, but my son was teething at that time. And, you know, I wanted him to have, so we went and checked out the book. And so I was trying to find the replacement book because I didn't want to take the book back to the library that where he had nubbed it all up. Like a chihuahua, you know?
I'll let you in on a little secret. We have replacement budgets for just that purpose. My colleague and I have been doing a lot of field trips for fourth and fifth grade students. And she says, if your baby brother chews that book up, I don't want it back. So part of our collection budget is we know that books are going to get torn. We know that babies are going to chew the board books. And as a side note, that's what the board books are for. We all know that babies and toddlers explore the world with their mouths. So board books are printed on cardboard so they can stand up to little teeth. So if your baby chews that copy of The Pigeon Has Feelings Too, shout out to The Pigeon. We love The Pigeon. You can keep that. He can keep on chewing it. And we have a replacement budget to let us buy a new one.
I was like, but when you talked about people being embarrassed, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I've got to find this book. You know, so I'm at Barnes and Noble's trying to find this replacement book because I didn't want to bring it back chewed up. But see, let them chew it up and bring it on back and we'll take care of it, right?
That's right. That's right. And if you do find your child chewing a book, I was in an early literacy training with someone who is very much the patron saint of early literacy. She's recently retired. Her name is Saroj Goting, and she demonstrated with a puppet. The puppet was chewing the board book, and she says, oh, this must be interesting. And she removes the book from the puppet's mouth and says, let's talk about this since you're so interested in it. So if you are having that moment of panic, take it as a sign that your child is interested in whatever page they're chewing on and talk about it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Anything to get them involved and engaged. And what are some of the things that's going to be going on with Fayette County Public Schools' first five LECs?
So along with the many partnerships we're having with the public library, we are doing Countdown to Kindergarten, which we try to do every year, where we really just, we have so many partners around town that we want to engage the families with their rising kindergartners. So for example, places like the Explorium, you know, in the public library, we'll be having events tailored to children, you know, of that kindergarten age, mm-hmm. And their families. For example, some places that they'll have events where the rising kindergartner will get in free, as well as one adult. Now you can bring other children and other adults, but they'll have to pay. But that'll give that child a chance and that family a chance to kind of get that experience right before going to kindergarten. And a lot of the places will be having kind of kindergarten themed. Or tailored activities for those children as well. You know, and this is not just, I mean, we tailor it for the children going to Fayette County Public Schools, but it's open to any kindergartner. Mm-hmm. Because we want, you know, we're raising future Lexingtonians, we're raising the future generation that hopefully will take care of us as we get older.
Fingers crossed.
So we want to, you know, we want to give them the best experiences possible. And the best family experience as possible as they're going into school.
And so when kiddos are getting ready to go to school, when does Fayette County like them to start registration for?
So kindergarten registration has started, and it's open. It's open, but the earlier you register, the sooner you'll start getting information about, you know, things you can do during the summer. We'll start sending out tips for reading in the summer, so there's not that summer slide in terms of, you know, you work real hard, you know, 9 months out of the year, you know, and what do you do, you know, like, what do I do with my child when they're at home?
Right.
You know, what do you want to do to get them ready for kindergarten? You know, so it's not such a huge, you know, there's already feelings and a lot of emotions from the adults and the kids.
I know. But I was one of those sobbing moms dropping my kindergartner off.
we talked about what to expect, you know, what you can do to get ready for kindergarten, who you might see. You know, we practice, you know, walking or driving by the school to say, oh, this is where, you know, we'll be. You know, even though the school's, you know, closed in the summer, you know, you can drive by or you can even drive your car in the bus lane to say this is what it'll be like, just to kind of prepare them. Because even as adults, we don't like to be fully surprised every single day. I mean, we know things come up at work, but, like, I don't want to come in every day at work and everything be like, surprise! Nobody wants to be like, hey, we moved your office today. You know, so, you know, we talk to the children about what's going to happen, what are things that might happen, the feelings you might have, and some of the people you might see there, some of the things you'll do, which all of the schools do really well kind of with their daily schedules and walking kids through the process of going to kindergarten. So lots of things like that, as well as things for the adults as well. We'll have just small little bits of information from pediatricians and dentists about, like, hey, this is when you should get your children's teeth checked out. This is when you should, you know, look into getting vaccinations and checkups and those kind of things, just to keep everybody ready for when school does start.
So is registration, do you have to come in or can you register online?
That's a good question. So you can actually do it online. Now, each school is a little different. Some schools do ask you to come in and bring the paperwork. If you need help filling out any of the paperwork or what paperwork you actually need, you can go into the school, and any school will help you out with that. But you can actually go online and figure out which one of your home school is. If you've never had a child in school and, you know, you moved to a new neighborhood, which school do I go to? You can look that up. You can give us a call. We'll help you decide that, or we'll help you figure out which one it is. But you can do it online. You can go to the school and they'll help you out as well. And if you need, and we have multilingual ambassadors. So if you, if you're a non-English speaker or English isn't your, what we call heart language, we have folks that can help you with that. Anything from Swahili to Japanese, Nepali, you give the district a call and they'll make sure we get you registered. We don't want any barriers to get our kids registered for school.
You all heard him. No barriers to getting kids ready for school. You know, we want to make sure that all kids get the best chance possible. And I think that that's why this partnership is important, you know, between all of us and so many people that aren't in this room with us today, getting children and families ready for the next step. Simone, before we go, I think we should do like a little thing to Whitney with Come So Help Me. Skidamarinky dinky dink, skidamarinky doo, I love you. We are the bomb. Early childhood education at its best.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have been listening to Lex Talk More Action.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You.